Okay, we're gonna get back. Which I got started last week. Kind of on a Thanksgiving theme, but really beyond that, addressing really a lot of the issues of our day and time. And as I'd started last week, I spoke about Habakkuk and how some thought he might be the son of the Shunammite woman, and then had someone was a Berean. I appreciate that. My wife's a Berean. You know, she checks and sees if those things be so. And it's still not impossible that he was, because the time frames are not certain. Habakkuk does mention the Chaldeans, which were the precursors or were absorbed into the Babylonians. But how far ahead he may have said that, we don't know for sure either. Because of the time frames that are generally associated with Habakkuk and Elisha, it's possible as well, perhaps likely, that he wasn't the son of the Shunammite woman. Regardless, the tradition of the Jews and the rabbis held that, and I don't know. There's lots of things I don't know. So you ask. If something doesn't seem right to you, I appreciate that. Acts 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. That was after they had all kind of troubles elsewhere. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether these things be so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. Search the scriptures to see if these things be so. And on that note, I'd recommend, as we've been studying Habakkuk, and whether we finish up today or not, I'm getting up close to noon hour already, but whether we finish up Habakkuk today or not, that I would recommend you go back and read that little book. I mean, it has so much to say to us today. And if it doesn't speak to you and speak to our circumstances, I don't know what would. And Habakkuk faced the kind of things we did, the kind of folks we did, and he still had the sovereign kind of Lord that we do as well. So you might just want to take a few minutes this week. It won't take you long to read through those three chapters and think on what Habakkuk has to say. We looked at Habakkuk as he was prophesying, and we think possibly in a time of turmoil, perhaps in the time of Jehoiakim, Israel was facing problems and difficulties internally and externally. Evil men were on the rise. The book began, the burden, which Habakkuk the prophet did see. See, the Lord puts a burden on people. He put a burden on Habakkuk. It's something he had to deal with, and he had to share, and he had to speak. And it's kind of like Jeremiah when he said, I couldn't stay, I had to speak. And and he said, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that rise up, strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Well, sounds like our time. Sounds like perhaps many times, and we can identify with those things. Habakkuk saw the wickedness within Israel, saw the impending judgment by an even more wicked people, And he's like, you know, God, how can this be? How can it be that God would use these wicked people as a rod against his own people in Habakkuk in verse 10? And they shall scoff at the kings, these invaders, and princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. And shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God, these pagans, and prevail over the nation of Israel, and they attribute it to their pagan God, but it's not their pagan God, it's Jehovah. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment. O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Things don't seem right to us sometimes. We look at, but let me tell you something, folks. Payday someday. God is on the throne. He rules and reigns. Some people look at this land in which we live as an exceptional nation. And as I've often had to say, and if anything, sometimes we've just been exceptionally wicked. I was just looking at a picture today, and not that there weren't all these other elements involved and whatever, but there was a picture came up on my news feed, and there was American troops and going through the first German city they entered, and you walk and there they are in the streets of the city, and you see signs up on the, you know, like would have been in our day and age, might look like almost like a McCrory's or a, you know, all these little department stores and whatever, and we just destroyed it. It's wickedness. And the prophet couldn't understand all this. He knew that Judah had apostatized, but still, weren't the Chaldeans even more wicked? How could it be that they would prevail over the chosen people of God? And so, he comes to God with some difficult questions. And he receives answers which tend in some cases only to puzzle him all the more. A thing about Habakkuk that identifies him somewhat with an older biblical writer, Job, he goes through all these things, he doesn't understand them all. But his faith in God never wavers. He knows who God is. He knows he's on the throne. He knows he rules and reigns. Brethren, if you can get a hold of that, you're going to be okay. And the Lord has to get you a hold of that, I understand. But if you can get a hold of that, you're going to be okay. All the rest of it's not going to matter that much. You can trust him. As Job said years before, Job 13:15. Though he slay me, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Listen, God is holy and just and righteous. And you know what? I deserve to be cast eternally into hell. I trust him. I believe him. I believe he's chosen me. But if he casts me eternally into hell, praise his holy name! Because he's God. You know, some folks look at religion and church and all this, but what they can get out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and get my ticket punched. And I've heard people say, oh, we were so much happier when we were in church. I'm glad you were, but that's not the point. God is holy and just and righteous, and he deserves to be worshipped and be glorified. It's not about you. And so Job could say, though he slay me. That's pretty severe stuff. Yeah, well, I trust him. And I think the child of God, as he comes to know and trust and understand God, would say, though he cast me into hell, yet will I praise him. Now, one with that sort of attitude, it's indicative that that's not, he's not the one that's going to be. But the Lord brings his people to see and embrace and to know those things. Even as Paul could refer to himself as the chief of sinners. And so Habakkuk is questions. He says, how could God allow Judah to fall into apostasy and wickedness? How could God allow this state of affairs to advance? How is it that our own land has departed from the godly vision that was prominent amongst the founders? Oh, they weren't all necessarily Bible Christians. They weren't all Baptists. But they had a biblical foundation. They had an understanding of God and his place and of creation. How is it that our own land is departed from these things? How is it that over the years we've had all sorts of men ascend to the throne in D.C., you know, our Obamas and our Bushes and our Trumps and our, I guess, Biden Harris's now. It's interesting how they always mention the two of them together. I mean, it's like somebody's really, they want to plant that in your mind and get you prepared for that, because I never saw that presidents and other administrations. But I mean, every place I read now, it says the Biden-Harris administration. I mean, where did that come from? Well, the Lord knows. So how could God allow them to fall into such apostasy and into such wickedness? Well, you know, they had a part to do with it. And then he wonders, how could God use the even more wicked Babylonians to punish his chosen people? I mean, there's threats on the horizon. I don't understand them all. And I think, you know, we're being brainwashed, you know, to hate these great enemies of Russia and China. Not that they're nice guys either. How could these evil people rise up and threaten America? I look at Muslims and communists. Habakkuk says in verse 6 of chapter 1, he says, for lo, God speaking to Habakkuk here, he says, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. You know, God raised up Pharaoh. God raises up the Chaldeans, which again, sometimes that word's used synonymous with the Babylonians, but in essence, the Chaldeans were absorbed into the Babylonians, became a part of what became the Babylonians. It says, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Judgment was coming. And for God's own purposes. Habakkuk couldn't understand that. I'm sure our southern forebears looked at the invading Yankees and what was wrought as well. This is God's own purpose. We wouldn't be the people we were without what we went through. I mean, it was a bitter trial of fire, but God's hopefully made some people today because of that. Down in verse 13 of chapter 1, he says, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, And holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth a man that is more righteous than he. Habakkuk is, you know, God, you're holy and right, justice and just. You know, how can you allow these things to happen? And yet, those same things were present in Israel. So he really couldn't comprehend these things. He couldn't get an answer to these things. These things don't seem to be right. It seems to be that wickedness is rewarded and righteousness is punished. You know, I don't know what happened. I don't get all caught up in these crazy federal elections. They're crooked from the beginning to the end. They have been almost from the start. Certainly since the ascension of Lincoln. I don't get all caught up and worried about those things. But you know, you look at it, certainly seems to be that the wicked get rewarded. And the more wickedness you do, you know, the better off you are. It seems to produce results. You cheat and steal and accomplish what you desire. We're reminded in Proverbs 24 and verse 19. Fret not thou because of evil men, neither be envious at the wicked. You know, sometimes you look at these evil, wicked people and all they've got. I don't begrudge these folks who worked hard and earned things. But you look at a truly evil man, you know, like Bill Gates and these other sort of folks that are up there that have ascended to these positions, really through their wickedness. God says, listen, don't fret because of the evil man. Neither be thy envious of the wicked. Say, I wish I had all he had. You know what? I don't think you do. And I know you don't wish you had what he's got coming. For there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. Now, there are times coming. His life is such a brief little candle. It's going to be put out. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 73, verse 3, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You know, David looked at, he said, yeah, I could be envious of those folks. You know, they've got, they've made it, and they seem to be set. They seem to be prosperous. But if you follow that chapter down several more verses, you come to verse 17 of Psalm 73. And David said, I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And in verse 17 he says, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. You know, until I got my mind adjusted in the sanctuary of God, by the word of God, until I went to the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. Yeah, they may seem to be riding high, but they won't be for long. And sometimes there seems still to be no apparent answers to the prayers of the righteous. As Habakkuk said back up again in verse 2 of chapter 1, he said, O Lord, how long shall I cry? Thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. People pray for the restoration of America. Probably need to pray to get ourselves fixed, you know, and to be what we ought to be. But they, you know, they pray for the restoration of America. They pray that, you know, that the Republicans will continue to hold the Senate. And, I'm praying. These things are so, so important to them. And so Habakkuk brings these things before God. They're things that trouble him. And much like Job, Habakkuk wrestles with these things, and he wrestles with these things in prayer with God. And again, his name Habakkuk can be translated the embracer, but also wrestler. It has to do with wrestling, and there's a lot of embracing and wrestling. I can understand how those two meanings are derived from that Hebrew word. But he wrestles with God. He wrestles with the bad things that are happening to the people of God. If you have questions, if you don't understand what's going on, if you're troubled by what's going on, if it disturbs you, take it to God. Wrestle with him. See how that turns out. But wrestling in prayer, and bring it to him, and lay your concerns with him. Habakkuk says in chapter 2, the first verse, I will stand upon my watch and set me up upon the tower. I will watch to see what he shall say to me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Habakkuk said, I'll bring these to God and I'll wait for his answer. I'll trust him. And that's the best thing we can do. And so now we find ourselves, I think, in similar circumstances like the prophets. And I'll say a few more words on this next week, but brethren, you can trust him. I've got a friend that also happens to be a distant cousin, and she struggles around this time of year. She lost a young daughter about this time of year, and she just recently lost someone, I think her husband. And I understand, the human frailty and the human longing, and I can't imagine some of those things. But I do know this, you can trust him. He's going to do what's right. You can trust in what he brings. And even if it seems best in thy sight, hopefully we can pray similar as the Lord there did in Gethsemane. Thy will be done. If it seems good unto thee. Because if it seems good unto him, it is good. And that's what I rest upon. I trust that's what you rest upon. Not that I don't at times get waylaid and perhaps get into thinking and trouble about things I shouldn't be troubled about. But by and large, I don't seem to be all in such an uproar as the rest of the untethered world that's about us. And I pray that the Lord might instill that in all of us. We'll take our hymnals this morning. I will sing a closing hymn, number 255, Close to Thee, 255. And stand as we sing this, if you like. Save me, not for ease or worldly pleasure, nor for fame.
close to me. Let me will, I toil and suffer, only let me walk with thee. Lead me through the perilous valleys, bear me o'er life's fitful sea. When the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee. Close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee. When the gate of life eternal may I enter, Lord, with thee.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, for the privilege to gather your little flock here in Archer, this fellowship you've brought together. Lord, we pray your hand on each of us that you might use us to your glory. For those that listen in our broadcasts as well, Lord, that you might meet needs, that you might strengthen us to be what you would have us to be. Be that people you can use. And Lord, whatever may come our way, to learn to trust in thee as we ought. Lord, when it appears that wickedness is on the rise, evil prevails, Lord, to realize that you're the one that raised up the Chaldeans and the Pharaohs, and that you'll be glorified, and that you're working all things together for the good of your chosen people. Father, we thank you for those you chose in Christ before the foundation of the world, or for the work of the Spirit that opened our eyes and hearts and ears to hear and receive these things. The atonement of our Savior that made it all possible. Lord, be with us as we go our ways. Use us all to your glory. And we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.